Good to be here tonight. We'll go ahead and do our little Bible study before we go to prayer tonight. So I've been thinking about some different things and looking at a word in the New Testament that kind of, sometimes you read some things and things catch your attention a little bit and you start looking at other passages of that word and things. And the word that caught my attention was the word look, the word look. And I wanted to speak tonight about the focus and the vision of our lives. What are the things that we're looking on? Where is our focus and our vision concentrated? You know, sometimes we run right through the present, run through our daily lives and things that are going on right now without even thinking about what we're doing. We just kind of go through the motions of things. And a lot of it's kind of like driving somewhere. You ever driven somewhere and you don't know how you got there? Maybe that happens to some of you on a daily basis. I don't know. But I remember I used to drive a whole lot more than I do now. I just live right close to school. I get kind of miss driving sometimes. I used to drive an hour each way to work and all this traffic and the same roads every day and in North Carolina, and you just, oh, how did I get here? How many red lights did I run? Sometimes I've seriously wondered, did I run 5 red lights on my way here? I'm so used to coming this route, you know, maybe, am I the only one that's happened to? I don't know. But you get there and you're like, why am I here and how did I get here? You just kind of zone out. There's actually a word for that. They call it highway hypnosis. Now, I didn't know that was a thing, but I guess it is. And they were talking about how your brain can go inactive. They said that the longer it takes for our brain to process information, the longer the period of time feels. So if it's something we've done repeatedly and the same route, our brain thinks the time went over real quick. And sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. They've done all these studies and things about, you know, if you're doing something familiar, your brain doesn't work as hard. So you kind of get in a little hypnotic state or something. And so I got to thinking about how many times are we looking at the present so often that we forget really what we're doing. And we can lose sight of the big picture of things. You know, you can have a couple of extremes in the Christian life or in life in general. You can look at or focus your vision on the present, on the things that are going on now, and you get so focused on that that you lose kind of the big picture of things many times. Or you could look at the big picture of things to such an extent that you forget to focus on the present. And obviously, you need a balance of those things. You know, I've heard of, you know, if the Lord's coming back, you know, in the future, He's coming back, so I'm just going to sell everything that I have and just wait for Him. He'll be right here and take care of me. Well, that's not very smart. I won't go to work because the Lord's going to return and He's going to take care of me. Well, of course, that's, you know, thinking too much of the future and not thinking of the present tense. So the need of our look is to focus on the present, to focus on what's going on now, but also within the realm of what does the future hold for me, especially as a Christian. Both of these looks are mentioned in Scripture, both the present and the future. And many times, of course, we tend to lose the big picture. We tend to forget sometimes about the future and the hope that we have. Then other times we don't look really on the things that are going on currently. I wanted to look at several passages of Scripture, got quite a few written down tonight, that deal with our present look and then our future look as a Christian. So I want to start in 2 Corinthians, if you open your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start down just that last verse of the chapter, verse number 18. In this context, Paul is talking about the conflicts that he's going through. Look back up at verse 16. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man's renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Then verse number 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So in the present, in right now, what are the things that we are looking at? Are we looking at the things that we think in our world matter, or what our society or culture may think matters? We can look at all the material possessions. We can look at the things we have or the things we don't have, or maybe the things that we want to have. I thought about Mark chapter 8, verse number 36. I'm going to read that verse to you real quick. I don't have to turn there, stay there in 2 Corinthians. But in Mark chapter 8, this is a very familiar passage that the Lord is talking about, you know, losing your life and taking up your cross. And it says, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" So obviously we can focus on those temporal things so much and not realize that future big picture. We're giving up our soul. We're losing the spiritual things that matter, the eternal things that matter, because we're focusing in so much on the present tense, temporal things around us. Of course, Paul in this context is talking about the hardships and the struggles, maybe even of the ministry. Sometimes it's easy to look at how difficult things are as I serve the Lord. All the obstacles that may come up, or all the difficulties, the hardships, the conversations you have to have with people, the conflicts that come up, and all those different things that we tend to focus on without remembering the big picture of things of why the Lord is doing this. Look back at in that same chapter, at verse number 15, or back in verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That's the big picture there in verses 14 and 15. And that's the future hope that Paul says. Sometimes, you know, sure, I've got this affliction. I'm, you know, the outward man is perishing. It needs to be renewed day by day. It's easier for me to look at the things that are seen, the present tense struggles and conflicts. But what is the bigger goal here is that the glory of God may be manifested. That we can be present with these other people that we minister to before the very presence of Christ. So it's very simple, perhaps, to forget that large picture. It's easy to get bogged down with the daily routines, with the things that are temporal, the things that we see, and then to not think about the things that are not seen. Flip over to chapter 10 in the same book, chapter 10. There's something else that we should or should not focus on in our present look. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Look at verse number 7. And again, Paul's talking about his own ministry. He's talking about his the power and authority he had as an apostle. But look at verse number 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. And then he goes on, of course, in the famous passages of, you know, we dare not compare ourselves among ourselves with others. And the idea here is we shouldn't be looking presently and focusing on what everybody else is doing, focusing on the outer appearance of what people are doing. You know, many times our present focus is on the things of everyone else. It's on maybe the mistakes everybody else is making or how we should have done things this way. If I was in their position, I would have done this. And we focus on that so much that we forget really what Paul says in verse number 7. I like the way that he words this. He says, if any man trusts to himself that he's Christ, let himself think this again, that just as you think you are Christ, well, so is the other person. That person is also, and many times we spend our time critiquing and judging or jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, and not remembering that that other person is a brother as well. He's following the Lord as well, just like we are. And it's easy to look at the outward things, to make pre-conclusions. And sometimes that can become the focus of our life. As we talked about in some other messages, it's easy to be critical. I was talking to that about the with the high schoolers in chapel the other day. We were going through some of the top 10 problems that teenagers face, and I got to number 2, and it took me way too long. Maybe I'll finish that chapel message sometime before the year's over. But the second one was gossiping and being critical. That list came from Matt Williams, by the way. You remember him? He was with us in January, and he's been to Christian schools all over this country. He's surveyed hundreds of young people, and he compiled a list of the top things that they face in Christian schools that are problems, that are sin. And the first one was disrespect for authority, and the second was gossiping and critiquing and tearing everybody else down and spending your time focusing on what everybody else is doing and trying to have idle talk and destroy them instead of looking at, well, you know what? I've got to serve Christ. And I'm over here saying, well, I'm of Christ, you know. Well, so is the other person. They're professing to be a Christian perhaps as well. And we waste our time critiquing and evaluating everybody else. And we talked about that with the young people, that it always seems that a critical spirit always arises. And people that are critical are usually the people that cannot be critiqued. They like to criticize everybody else, but don't dare evaluate them. And then they'll get upset at you. So we spend this time looking on the outward appearance, or looking on things that the world might think is important, or what we think is important, instead of what God says in His Word that is important. Again, verse number 12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with those that commend themselves. They're measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. What's the point of all that? You're getting away from comparing yourself with God's Word. And many times we should judge things by what God says instead of what we think. And it's very dangerous to have our present focus in on that, because then again we lose sight of that bigger picture of what our future look should be. Go over then to Philippians chapter 2, another passage. This is a very familiar one. I've always loved this passage, Philippians chapter 2, that deals with the kenosis of Christ. And right there at the beginning of that passage, verse number 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 2, Again, what should our look be upon? And again, I believe we live in a day of great selfishness. We live with generations of just self-centered people. It seems that the longer it goes and the closer we get to Christ, that's going to be more the case. But look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And here's our word, look, verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Now this word to look, it's the same word that was used back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is actually the word skopos in the Greek. And I've never been really much into hunting. I know some people in here are. I know Isaac likes to hunt. You know, takes him 2 or 3 weeks to kill a pig. We won't talk about that. Hey. You know, got the guns and the, you know, scopes and everything. That's where the word comes from. It's from scope that you would put on a gun. It's the kind of idea which where we get our English word. And the idea literally in the Greek is to aim at something. To aim at something. I enjoy guns. I enjoy shooting guns. I haven't been able to do it much because I've been so busy. I like going down to the shooting range and trying to aim at the target and then wonder why I keep missing. I enjoy doing that. But if you have a scope on your gun, what does it help you do? It helps you focus in on that target very specifically. You know, so then you can get shaky and pull the trigger and you miss. But anyway, that's the idea of a scope. It's to aim at something. So what are we aiming at in our lives? Where are we pointing that scope at? What are we looking intensely on in our present day life as we live for the Lord? We should be looking and focusing not on our own things, but our aim should be every man on the things of others. It's so easy to focus on our own interests, to aim in our life and have our goals of our life to be on our own interests. The things that I think I want to do. The plans that I've made for my life of how I think I'm going to do things and I'm going to be successful and do these kind of things. I was telling somebody, I may have been Seth, I can't remember. One of the best decisions of my life, or made my life easy. I don't know if you put it that way. When I was in middle school, I was just convicted by the Lord and trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to do with my life. And I said, you know what, Lord, I want to go to the ministry. I'm going to submit to whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to the ministry, I'll do it. And from that point forward, I started preparing for that. I didn't have to worry about where I was going to go to college. I knew I was going to go to a Bible college. I didn't have to worry about it. It was just settled and done in my mind. Because I wanted to submit to the Lord. Well, it's easy to focus in on ourselves and think, well, I know what I want to do with my life. And I know the direction that I'm going to have. And I've got these five options, and I'm just going to go do whichever one makes me the most money or whichever one makes me the happiest. You hear that a lot today. What makes you happy? Do what makes you happy. Well, you know, we can find some kind of fake happiness and some little tiny 5 minutes of happiness by doing what we want to do. But in the end, there's not satisfaction. And when we do what Christ wants us to do, and we put ourselves on the back burner, so to speak, and we put others and Christ in the front, then suddenly our life becomes full of satisfaction. Let's not aim at what we want. Let's not aim, and when we start aiming for what we want, we start manipulating, we start twisting things around, we start promoting ourselves, and it really can become a very confusing and terrible life to live. But focusing on others and their needs, and the example, of course, in Philippians chapter 2, is what Christ did. To love humanity so much that He, you know, gave up His right to receive glory, came down to earth and took on the form of a servant and went right to the cross, verse number 8, and died the death of the cross. He did that for a people that were unlovely, and yet He loved them that much. Let's have that same concern and love for others as we see their needs. Those are some things that we focus on in the present tense. Hebrews chapter 12. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 12 as we look at another one. So to focus on the things that are unseen, to focus not on the outer appearance, to focus on others and their needs, and then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, as we live our Christian life, a very familiar passage here. It's talking in verse number 1 about running with patience the race that is set before us. We're in the present tense, every day of our life, we're kind of like we're walking down that road. Maybe some of us are running. Some of us that are a little bit older and don't like running, we're kind of just barely jogging maybe. Or maybe some of us are in wheelchairs, I don't know. But we're going down that road and we're walking the Christian life. And what is the race that we're running for Christ? What are we to look at right now as we run that race? Are we supposed to look at where everybody else is in the race? You know, it's one of the things they always talk about. Well, with these, sometimes you see a runner running, he stops and he looks to see how far back somebody else is, and that slows you down. And they kind of speed on by you there. You can get distracted by looking at other things as you're running the race. What should we be looking at? Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has already completed and finished the race that he ran on earth. He did the job. He did the task. He paid for our sins. He is finished and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And our eyes should be there. As we live this present tense, everyday life, we should be looking at the creator, the originator, the completer, the founder, the perfecter, the maturing of our faith as well. To as we run the race, to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. And then one more verse before we look at some future things. Go to near the end of the New Testament to the book of Jude. To the book of Jude. It's just got one chapter. And this verse is kind of a transition into, it kind of deals with the present tense that we're doing now, but also mixing the future in with it. Verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking for it right now, but unto eternal life. You know, there's not a doubt, there shouldn't be a doubt in our minds at all that the Lord's merciful to us. That He daily holds back from what He should pour out on us in judgment. We're a sinful people. But He's so merciful to us every day to allow us to continue to live, to continue to serve the Lord, to continue to minister in the different places that He has put us. So while walking in the present and anticipating and enjoying the mercy of Christ, do you look for the mercy of Christ when you live your life in the present tense? You know what? If you look for Christ's mercy, you won't complain as much. If you look for Christ's mercy, you'll be more thankful. If you look for Christ's mercy, you'll be more contented and give thanks to the Lord in your life. So let's, in the present tense, follow these ideas of not looking to the temporal things, looking to the eternal things. Let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's look to the needs of others and not the needs of just ourselves. But as we do that in the present tense, yes, we have daily jobs that we must do, a daily task before us, a daily ministry before us. Each and every day, we've got to get up and fulfill those tasks. And the idea is not to become in that, you know, highway hypnosis state there. As we're just going to go through it again, and it's very easy to do that. It's easy to, you know, your brain just kind of wants to go to sleep a little bit. You're just doing the same thing every day, time and time again. Sometimes I just have to get up out of my office and walk around a bit to give my brain a change of scenery because you're sitting there looking at the thing, what am I supposed to be doing here? I got to really focus, you know, and it's getting late in the day and you're getting tired. Well, I got to get up and run around the building a couple times or something. It's easy mentally for us to do that. But as a Christian, in our Christian life, let's not become apathetic or hypnotic. I'm not using that in a negative way. But let's not get in that just kind of a zone there spiritually. Well, I'm not even going to have to worry about reading my Bible. Don't have to worry about praying. Don't have to worry about serving the Lord today. Things will just kind of go on like they normally do. But we've got to be fervent in continuing with the Lord in our present tense walk with Christ. But at the same time, how are we supposed to balance that with also keeping in mind what is the future goal? What is the future hope and the view that we have? And I've got three or four verses here that I want to look at. We'll go back to the book of Philippians. Back to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. And the Greek words that we're going to look at for the next three or four passages that are translated as look or looking in our English, have the idea of anticipation, of expecting something, anticipating. So you see that the future references there. Yes, I'm living right now, present tense, but I'm supposed to be anticipating something else. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. For our conversation really has the idea there of our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. It's not here on the earth. Again, where is our future vision supposed to be? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm living my life, as I'm walking with the Lord every day, to be looking up to the hope that He's going to return. To be considering the fact that my Lord is just not going to leave me here and just, you know, basic duties of life and things that I'm going through every day, but He is planning to return. And it would be wonderful to be a part of that. If not, you know, we may pass away and die, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we look to the future of being able to see our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's there, and it says in verse 21, He's going to change our old vile body, this body of dust, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things to himself. That's what we have to look forward to in the future. Hebrews chapter 9 also mentions it. If you'll flip over there to Hebrews chapter 9. I know we've gone to a lot of passages tonight, but go a few books over to Hebrews chapter 9 to continue to see what we have to consider in the future for our Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But we have such a wonderful hope that we can be part of those that are looking for him. And Christians have been looking for him since he ascended up into heaven. And even Paul had that hope that maybe the Lord would return during his lifetime. And we have that same hope during our lifetime. Are we looking for the Lord as we're living this Christian life? Yes, present tense, I'm doing the task that God has given me. I'm serving the Lord. But while I'm doing that, I'm looking for his return. It's in the realm of that. It's almost like there's a large bubble or so, a sphere, and we're inside it doing our daily ministry in the sphere of hoping and looking for the return of our Savior. Over to Titus chapter 2, back a couple pages to Titus chapter 2. It's the book right before Philemon, right before Hebrews, and then Titus. So go back just a couple pages. Another familiar passage here. And I like the way it kind of combines in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the present and the past or the future here. Verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. What is that? That's right now. This is how we should live right now. Deny ungodliness, deny the world, walk with the Lord, live soberly or maturely with a right balanced mind, live righteously and godly right now. But verse 13, as we are living that way, according to verse number 12, let us look for or anticipate and expect that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we live this present tense, verse 12, without that hope, then we're going to fall back into the category of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we're looking at the things that are temporal and thinking, boy, this is discouraging. You know, it's a reality sometimes that even serving God is discouraging. It's disappointing. Again, I've just been thinking of that as we've studied through the book of Jeremiah. And how would you like to be Jeremiah preaching what God told you to preach, and then every time you preach it, people hate you? Every single time you preach God's word, they want nothing to do with you, and they make fun of you, call you names, reject you, call you idiotic. What is your problem? Can you imagine being Jeremiah and nobody responding positively? And it can be that way, even in the ministries we have today. It can be disheartening. It can be discouraging. It can be disappointing. But I've got to remember that there's a blessed hope. That I'm doing this while I'm hoping for the Lord. He's going to return. He's going to make things correct. He's going to be the judge of all things. And then as Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's the hope that there may be some with you there. There may be some that your ministry has affected that you may not even know about until you reach that blessed hope with the Lord. And then one last passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This passage talks about what we should look for in the future because our Lord, He's going to return. That's a blessed hope that we live and keep in our minds. But also when He returns, He's going to make things right. He's going to be the judge of all things. He's going to set things straight. And just listen, of course, to these verses here. Of course, back in, we could look at verse 8, 9, 10. The day of the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. He's going to melt all things away. Verse 11, all these things are going to be dissolved. And then verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire will be dissolved. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. And how are those heavens and earth going to be different? Because it says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's how God is going to set things straight. As we live in this present life and as we serve the Lord, there's a lot of unrighteousness around. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of evil. And again, as Paul said, let's not look at the temporal thing. Let's not look at all the things that are going on around that are difficult. It's hard and it's disheartening. But there's coming a day where the Lord's going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be righteousness. And it's going to reign, and it's going to dwell. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, because of that future hope, seeing that you look for such things, are we looking for that tonight? Are we looking and longing for the day where righteousness is going to reign on this new heaven and this new earth? Be diligent that we can be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So right now I can be at peace. Right now I can be without spot. I can be blameless as I serve the Lord because I'm looking for this future hope in our Savior. You know, don't lose focus as we are on the road of the Christian life. To focus presently on seeing Christ, focus on seeing the author and finisher of our faith, and ultimately the perspective of His blessed hope, of the return of our Savior. Don't let the present overshadow the future, if that makes sense. Now, don't forget about the future that you have in Christ just because something's going a little difficult here presently, or the ministry isn't all that you thought it would be, or things are a lot harder than you thought it would be, or, you know, whatever it may be, raising kids, or, you know, maybe even being married. Maybe that's really hard for some. I hope not, but just, you know, difficulties and hardships and things that come up. And, Lord, what am I supposed to do? This is a lot different than I imagined it would be or what I thought it would be. I used to tell the kids when I used to teach life management, but Mr. Brainerd does that now. He does a lot better job. But I used to talk to him about marriage, and you think it's all this wonderful things. And I had an old preacher used to always say, when moonlight and roses turn to daylight and dishes, that's a whole nother world. And, Lord, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of problems coming up here, and this isn't just always the smoothest thing ever. Again, I'm just making light of some things. But it's easy for us to get that way in our Christian life. Lord, this is a lot harder than what I thought you were going to call me to do. It's like, you know, talking in the days of Jeremiah, or, Lord, these people aren't responding, and there's this trial after trial after trial coming up, and it takes a lot of work, Lord. Keep looking forward. Don't let the present overshadow or crowd out the hope that you have in the Lord. And I said that was my last verse, but let's close with one more. I always like to think about this verse when I consider the ministry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What should be part of, not all of it, of course the Lord's our hope. He's our blessed hope in the future. But there's another part of that that we can enjoy. Chapter 2, verse number 19 in 1 Thessalonians. What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? As you serve the Lord, yeah, it can be hard. You may think nobody's ever responding. But what's the hope, the joy, the crown of rejoicing that you have in the future? Notice what Paul says. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That boy, this ministry was hard. But you know what? There's people, hopefully, in heaven as a result. There's young people that hopefully have come to Christ. You think about all the years of existence of this school since 1962, and this ministry since the church since the 1950s, and youth athletic club, and the baseball programs, and the children's Bible club, and all the ministries that, yes, we've labored in, and it's been hard, and there's been difficulties, and sometimes you wonder, why in the world, Lord? Nothing seems to go right today. But there might be a young person that hears the message. There might be a young person that even years down the road will turn and say, you know what, I remember what I learned in school. I remember what I heard in the Children's Bible Club story. I remember what I heard a coach talk about at YAC. We may never know some of those until we go to heaven to see our Lord and see others. That's our joy and rejoicing. Of course, it's the Lord, our blessed hope, but also to know that there's others. The ministry will be worth it. Father, I thank you for this passage, these passages tonight, and for these ideas and thoughts, Lord. I just pray that they were understandable because, Lord, it's easy for us to forget about many things as we focus on the wrong things in the present. Help us to look at you as we serve and keep in mind the future of that blessed hope in our Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.